Yo.
Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to
Hashtag WAW. What a week.
Yeah, yo. What a week. Week.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is August, which in South Africa is designated Women's Month. On this week's show, we are speaking to some people who've made women cry, but more because of amusement, awe, and celebration. Are you curious? Stick around and find out. Welcome back to Wow, What a Week.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. You can't make this shit up.
His first name means peace, though he is more well known for disturbing it. He's a funny man who's also known some less than amusing times, but soldiered through them anyway. He's here to amuse us, educate us, and maybe even feed us as well with a recipe or two. I highly doubt. Bodai kika budget. Please give a warm welcome to Kagiso Letiha.
Shate.
Comedian turned movie maker, because that's pretty much what you've done now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a storyteller.
Yes.
I always call myself a storyteller. When I was in high school, in Standard 9, I tell the story a lot. My Standard 9 teacher said, yo, man, my math teacher, Ms. Mefero Klute.
Yes.
She said, are you Finnish? And we'd say, no, we're South African. But she also said, you out of all the people in this class should be talk the least because you're on standard grade mathematics and you're doing badly at it. And I said, no, I don't think I'm going to need mathematics because I'm going to be a comedian and a movie maker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she said, but you might need something to fall back on. And luckily, I haven't needed something to fall back on yet. I haven't needed mathematics, though. So there we go.
Are you not married?
Well, yes, my partner, marriage is a strong word. I've been with the same lady for 20 years.
Yeah.
We've got a 15-year-old turning 16.
But doesn't she work?
She's the mathematician. We're business partners as well. So okay. We're like partners all around.
Isn't she white?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have something to fall back on.
She's got, she doesn't own land. She doesn't own much land. She's from the struggle family. They don't have land.
When all else fails, just write the privilege.
I'll write the privilege. I mean, she does all the applications and the bookings. Because I'm like, always like, you do that because you know they're going to. Yeah.
Exactly.
When I hear my hard R's, the hello, yes.
When you need to rent a place, she must call.
She rents, yeah. She's the one.
But you arrive first.
And it's always confusing. I remember we used to do a shoot. We did a thing called Bantu Hour.
I remember,
and she booked like a location.
Yeah.
And we got to the location, she's the producer. And we got to the location. It's like I never realized how few black production kind of crews there were.
Oh, yes, yes.
So because when I arrived there, Mateo, the cinematographer's black, Malu, the gaffer, you know, the group, everybody. So we arrived there, and then this woman, Mifru Buota, on Jean Smart there, she had this beautiful house. And man, that was like, she was shocked.
Yeah.
Like, there was chaos. Like, she had to call the white lady at my office to be like, she said, I didn't know there were going to be so many people.
You're
but
lying.
we know she left out the...
You people.
Yeah, yeah. There's another one.
Do you and your lifelong partner ever have race conversations?
Yeah, we always have, because I have race conversations all the time, generally,
yes,
as a person,
yes.
But she kind of comes from like a hardcore struggle ANC family, so they have like race conversations.
So she's probably blacker than you, the struggle ones.
In a way, yeah. Like, yeah, she had like, you know, aunts that were banned, MKs, sort of smuggling guns, you know, those types of people. So she's like a lot more of a struggle family. My family struggled. Her family were in the struggle. You know? So it's like, yeah.
Is that why your child's name is Amantha?
Actually, yeah. Amandala.
How did you and David Gao meet? Because, I mean, you guys met, you went to UCT together. It's almost like you were destined to be joined at the hip.
Yeah.
For a season.
I'll tell you what, mate. Yeah, so my parents divorced, separated, whatever that is,
yeah.
When I was 13 years old.
Jeez.
And then my mom and I and my sister, we moved to...
So this was about 32 years ago?
Buma 300, yeah. 92.
I also did standard mass with you, but
yeah, those ones. Standard, yeah, those ones. 32 years. You see, hey, over calendar, do man. Hey, my time, so we moved to like nomadic kind of for like a 6 months where my mom was trying to get her bearings. I imagine she was like around my age or younger.
So she moved out.
Yeah, we stayed separate. I mean, I got home. Mm. Like they have financial problems. I remember arriving. I was telling the story the other day. My friend Tsiedzi was staying at my house.
Sure.
And we arrived, and they had kind of had this big house that we had moved from a 4-room house to some big house called Biafit. We're in Social Ngube.
Yes.
And that I think it also caused financial strife. You know? So one day I arrived, my dad had.
What was the house at least complete?
No, it was nice. It just didn't have a fence. It didn't have a gate. That was the one thing.
Because a lot of big houses in the hood are not
completed. Yeah. It was completed, but with the exception of the perimeter wall or fence or whatever.
Tough nonsense. Mm. Yes.
So got there, and then our things were getting repossessed.
Oh, wow.
And the wardrobes and what Michael, and I remember Russian because I had like my stash of porn that was in under. So the only thing, when you see your bed from the bedroom being out on the street, the only thing you're rushing is to go find that. And there's embarrassment. So the embarrassment was twofold, that your life is kind of being like flushed out.
And in front of the neighbors.
The neighbors, that kind of stuff. And we were like a fancy-ish family. We used forks and knife and stuff like that. And that was always the thing. Why did you have a fork and knife? Why did you? Because we had like a helper who had worked for like a rich family. And then she came and she had run away. We didn't know, but she had stolen money from the rich family.
Oh, wow.
And then she was hiding out at our house. But we were now living like, oh, wow, we got like a butlerish type of lady.
Yeah.
Anyway, story for another day. So when we moved out, eventually after like a year or two, when my mom settled, we were living in a house, in an apartment block called Menkes Corp.
Is that where you met David Coe?
That's where David Coe. David lived on the 5th floor. I lived on the 2nd floor.
So how old are you at this stage?
I'm 14, 15, okay. So 16,
yeah.
15, 16. First love times,
Sure.
And he was actually friends with my sister. Okay. I was a bit more shy. I was a bit weird. And then we became friends because we were into the same shit.
Yeah.
But what he used to do every Monday, you remember Beverly Hills 90210?
Yes.
It was in simulcast. And he had like a portable radio.
For Radio 2000.
Yeah, for Radio 2000. So he would come to my house when we would watch 90210 together. But he would start, as the show started, he would start playing the tune, tweedididee, from 5th floor, and then blasting it all the way down. And then as he would be entering my house, And then we had to say we wanted to be comedians. We wanted to make movies. We did all of that type. Yeah, I remember he applied to... He put like an idea to Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And they sent us like a big like file, like a contract to be like, yo, we don't take unsolicited materials, but we're interested to hear your shit here. And we didn't have the next step after that, but we walked around with this like
Warner contacted us.
Yeah. And then the rest is history. We went to UCT together, et cetera, all the way to now.
So you make movies and you're making great stuff. I'm seeing some of your stuff already on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you're gently, quietly just doing what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that deliberate or intentional about that?
Yeah.
That I'm not going to make noise about everything, but we're working.
Yeah. I mean, there's also time to make the noise. And it's like also some of the things. I like movies. I make movies because that's what I do.
Sure.
Like I have to make it. It's like stand up.
Yes.
But somebody was asking me yesterday, and I said I love stand up. It's really like I really love stand up, but it doesn't keep me up at night.
Oh,
with
yes.
Movies, I'm there calculating. If we can get 6 million here, we get 12 here. We speak to Fresh. We do this. That's what stress. It's like my thing.
Yeah, maybe if Fresh plays himself.
Yeah.
And him less.
That type of.
Because he doesn't have to act.
Yeah, you remember you were in that movie that racing movie with Mendoza.
Oh, the racist,
yeah. No.
Yeah.
The less said about that.
Why would you have to trigger me like
that? Sorry. And less said about that. But yeah, so I love movies. I want to build an industry.
Sure.
Of movies. I like that it can be like this business. I like the business of movies. I like everything about movies. I like the Hollywoodness of it all.
And done right, you can make a buck.
Exactly. Exactly.
So there's a lot happening in this country that should be movies.
Yes.
One of the big stories, obviously, the Senzo Meiwa case.
That's crazy, yes. That's crazy, eh?
A cell phone specialist this week talking about how Kelly Kumalo's number can be linked to two numbers of the suspects. How is that for you as a movie maker and then also as a citizen hearing stuff like that?
Yeah, that's rock and roll. I mean, because I know Kelly. I mean, like, you know, yes, Kelly, we're yes. from the community and she's always been sweet. But it's always crazy when you hear this stuff. I was actually in a sound mix, in a music with a composer for another show that I'm busy with.
Yeah.
And he brought, the news came in like that. And he was like, yo, what do you make of this? You know, and we started speculating like, maybe, you know, there was many, we were trying to not say that maybe Kelly's dodgy. So the whole story, we were trying to explore all of these other, what could it be?
Other degrees.
But it's not a good look, right? It's not a good look.
It's not a good look. And the fact that Senzo's phone number, we're told, was wiped the day after.
Yeah.
No, not wiped. Not wiped. We're told the SIM swap.
Yeah.
Like, why would you SIM swap?
That's weird. I mean, and that they didn't call the police. There was another story. Obviously, I'm rooting. Kelly, if we were making the movie, Kelly would be the protagonist because, like, she's got a great story. She's like this artist and she's beautiful and all of that.
She was a virgin for a while.
Those things. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that part, I feel like this would be that moment in court where we are like, oh, did you see episode 4? It's like, I don't know. But I wish her the best because I know in the whole story I know her and I'm like she's only been nice to me. I don't know what your experience with her is, but it's not a good look.
There's a Women's Month concert that she was built before, Matt. They've dropped her from this concert this week, saying to give her time to focus on the case.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking
they're saying it's not looking good.
But what
the general sentiment is, this is not a good look.
Exactly,
Mr. President. What do you think? It's not a good look. No comment. Next question.
I was shocked.
Yes, I was shocked.
But what I'm thinking, though, because generally when it comes to cancel culture, it's almost like women are treated with kids' gloves. It's like, unless she's holding a smoking gun, they're almost given more rope.
But you know why, Mus? Because we've been in a patriarchal society. Yes. We have been the ones that have been...
Sure.
Cancel culture was the reverse of you guys have been... We've always believed you. We always listened to you. You're the police. You're the president. Now we're swapping. So it's almost like we overcompensated.
Sure.
We went all the way to this side, but I know what you say.
What do you feel about the fact that it took so long for anyone to say, maybe deal with your stuff first? And then we can maybe book you afterwards.
Yeah, because of that. Because we love Kelly. We want to believe Kelly. Mm. And also, I like what you're saying. We want to believe the woman as well. I mean, it's not like a cancel culture type of incident. Mm. But she told us her story. And it fits in that same narrative. You know, like, let's listen to her. It's just hectic, man. This whole thing is every time you hear about this, the common sense says, no, chief, no.
Yeah.
But it's like we're going against common sense. And I'm going to continue to go against common sense because I love Kelly. I'm going to go, you know what? Fuck common sense. I'm rooting for you, Kelly. I'm rooting for you.
Oh, yeah, man. Another massive story this week. Obviously, the Taliban...
I saw that.
We're running Afghanistan since the Russians probably got out.
Yeah.
And I remember I was on radio back in 98, 99, when the Taliban were starting to say to people, and I think Leonardo DiCaprio was massive back then because of Titanic.
Yes, yes.
And I remember there was a Leonardo DiCaprio haircut that was all the rage around the globe. And the Taliban said, no barbershop can give a Leonardo DiCaprio haircut because it's very Western and it's very not us. And it was back then that they started banning popular culture, pop music. And then obviously America came in there, fucked shit up again, as they do. And then they left them with shit fucked up. And I remember the Taliban were made to promise that they'll not go back to the old ways. And, they've gone back to the old ways.
Immediately. Remember when the people were rushing to the airport and chaos was happening? The Taliban was like, we are back now. Yalla. That's rock and roll. The only thing I can say about the Taliban from everything we know about them is that they're a bunch of assholes, right? They're like grand assholes.
But they're also consistent, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we thought that when the lion says, I'm not going to eat you, we believe that the lion is not going to eat us. So this week, the Taliban have decided that musical instruments and music are a source of evil. So musical instruments are now banned in Afghanistan, mm. and they had a massive bonfire.
To burn all the nice things, huh? So violins.
People had to bring music instruments that were burnt.
Damn, man. That's like, I mean, it's the Taliban. I don't even know. Like you said, we're not surprised. It's the Taliban. If you're like, shame, man, if you live, God bless you, if you live under the Taliban regime, it's like proper assholes. It's like religious extremism. It's those types of people, you know? It's like one of those things that we're so lucky that we don't live in those kind of things.
Because a snake?
They're assholes. They're fucking assholes.
A snake will still bite you if you call it Mr. Snake.
Exactly. Sorry. No. The Taliban, I'm not surprised. I'm like, yeah, the Taliban, they don't like to see freedom. They hate freedom. They don't like nice things, you know? Like things that our life, we are just lucky that we are not in a world like the Taliban. Oh, even in Uganda. I mean, especially because Uganda is not the Taliban. I've had so much fun in Uganda, but you can't take some music to Uganda.
You could.
But then it's going to end very bad.
You must just put on a very deep voice.
You know what I did? I was in Uganda just before COVID. Yeah. Nice time.
Yeah.
And then I was wearing these shorts that I bought at Cotton On, and they tore in the middle here.
Yeah.
So
was your nut hanging out?
Well, luckily I had underpants. Oh, but yes, okay. It was, so to speak, yes. And then I put on the scarf like a skirt, you know, and I thought it was fashionable. And then the people that I was with, they looked at me and they said, hey, my brother, what are you promoting? I was like, what are you talking about? What are you promoting? No, we can't go out like this, my brother. I was like, what? So I took it and then I put it down. Like, so I took the...
So they were treating it as if you're marketing.
Yeah. I'm promoting this type of behavior. And I was like, these are comedians. I was like, with Salvador. You know Salvador?
Yeah, those
people. I was like, are you crazy? And as soon as I turned the scarf into something else, they were like, this guy's stylish, huh? Stylish, let's go. Then we hit the club. And I was like, I guess societally, that's how they believe, you know? That's how they roll. It's like somebody, we are lucky that we live in a place here where Julius can go and say crazy things and we understand that it's just his opinion, you know? We live in that kind of country. You know?
So, like you're saying, you've been with your partner, for the last 20 years?
20 years, man.
And generally, especially in black society, you know, the way marriage is treated like it's some trophy or some achievement. You know, if you're in your 30s and you're not married or you don't
like child, name. Like, when are you getting married? Hey, do you know Tepo Mohale's joke? Tepo Mohale's joke from back in the day.
Yeah.
He always used to meet his grandmother at weddings. Oh, not Tepo, Unyala name. Every time, Unyala name. Then the next time he met his grandmother at a funeral. And he said, Kuku, when are Swadini?
When do you die?
When are you die, you know?
Have you guys had to deal with when they get married?
Yeah, a lot of times.
Especially from your side of the family.
Yeah, I mean, my side of the family is my mom got divorced, met. My mom was quite a liberally type, you know, so loose-witted a little bit. But yeah, we've had this side. People want to see, you know, marriage. I think the feast of marriage, the ritual of it is a thing.
What did you ever call cohabiting feast?
Yeah, exactly. You know? We always say that. I mean, and also women also want to get married a lot. And then I don't believe in marriage. I spoke to my partner and she was like into it, but then I remember years later when I was like, yeah, maybe we do get married. She's like, you know, so we're not so fast. And it's also because it's a religious ceremony and it's a weird thing. And then and I remember Jay Savage. I don't know if you know Jay Savage. He used to be at Sony.
Yes.
Music guy.
Yeah.
And he was with his partner for 30 years. I met him at a beach in Cape Town.
Mm.
And I said, and we were in the middle, like probably maybe 10 years or 8 years into our relationship. And then I said, you guys are not married. How do you do it? Like, how long has it been? He said, 30 years. I said, but are you going to get married? He said, look, man, it's working. Why involve the law? You know, why involve the law? So I was like, yeah, why involve the law?
Why must government be a part
why must, yeah, why must, you know, so there's obviously conveniences to it. And I think maybe that legal evolution has happened that you don't necessarily need to be married. We have like a business together. We have a child together. And, you know, because of the child, we're probably going to be in a relationship. Even if we're separated, we'll sort of be related. You know, so I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I don't know.
No, the reason.
But I do like weddings. Weddings make me moist, you know, especially some of them. Some of them are cock where you're like, I mean, I just came to church. And others have that special, a meeting of minds, a meeting of souls, what. And I wouldn't mind having that kind of party. And we get drunk and it's a good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the reason I'm asking you, because I want us to talk about the broken circle of life. Mr. Lion King, Little M,
yes.
Is divorcing again.
Yeah, maybe he likes divorce.
Maybe this is number 5 or number 8. Because I know that there's also 2 ex-fiancés. Yeah. So I'm not sure if we count those as the exes. Or there's the 5 ex-wives.
Yeah, I mean, you see what I mean? Because now you're like, you're counting even the long-term relationship. Because it's sort of a marriage.
But they're engaged, but they're engaged.
Yeah, that's a divorce then. That is it's a solid breaking of the promise or whatever it is that you did.
I know it's other people's business in the bigger scheme of things. But what do you think is going on there, though? Is it a case of, as long as we are serious, I will marry you?
Yeah, maybe that's how he knows how to say I love you or I want to be with you. You know, it's like...
It's a love language.
Yeah, it's a love language. It's good, yale, baby. Oh, nugget ice cream. I just came. you know, beep, beep, hey, yeah. So single now. Yeah, sure. Will you? You know, so I think so. I think maybe that for him, because there's a lot of those guys. Like, especially because he's a Hollywood guy, and yeah. Hollywood likes those Hollywood timers. They love to marry people.
Sure.
Buma, Bargiman Daman was CNN. He passed away.
And we forget that he is a Hollywood
guy. He's a Hollywood guy.
And he's making Hollywood millions.
Yeah, he's a Hollywood guy. Hollywood guys like to marry.
Just from the stage production.
There we go.
Just from the stage production.
There we go. Larry King. How many times has Larry King met? Ted Turner. These guys, I mean, like, those old school, I'm sure that's where, when he was coming of age, people were like, so this is Ufasa, so this is how you make mfana. Ring or born. Let's get married. You know, maybe that's...
But make sure she signs the prenup.
You see those things.
Because you're a multimillionaire.
See those things.
She must leave with what she came with.
Yeah, do you think maybe this, but what is your, what do you make of this? What do you make of that?
You know what? I know... People that are serial, I have to be in a relationship. I have to be with someone.
Yeah, but why do they have to marry? Those people don't have to marry.
Because maybe for him, that's the ultimate showing of...
Yeah, okay.
I can't buy you a train because the Department of Transport have allowed our railroads to be stolen. So I can't buy you a train. Where are you going to ride your train? Okay. That's what I get it to rain a bit.
Yeah, okay. So you reckon... He's like, Marcheriatsi bar king man your king. Yeah, God.
Let me show it.
No, God, no, I believe you, but no, you don't know. Every time you don't believe.
Like, hold my
beer. Hold my beer. Wait here. That's exactly it. I think that's it because, and then also the divorcing part, because I feel like, because for me, the admin of like that whole marriage thing is so much. And I hate admin. And then now when you think about this dude is doing it 4 or 5 times, the divorce, and he's still young, relatively, that there could still be 4 more marriages that are up in there.
And because of that, now do you go to Home Affairs and change your name? Or do you say, just 1 year first? If we last the year, then I'll go to Home Affairs and change my name.
Yeah, but I mean, if your thing is to show this commitment that kidding now you want to show, I want to give you everything.
Sure.
Everything. Comes with this square mile, you know, square meters.
And a yacht in Tepe.
I want to doubt this. But those, even the negotiations with the uncles, even the relationships that you start with these families, because now they're your family, you know? It's like, if you're dating people, you don't need to meet their uncles and meet at a thing and there's a tent involved. No.
Yeah.
You know, guest lists. How many guest lists? This is like, whoa, okay. And I respect you in that delivery. Much respect, sir. Much respect.
My labs are online, your favorite. Please invite us for the next one.
No, I'm in.
I will DJ for free.
Oh, you heard. Now, I won't do anything for free, but I will come to enjoy.
You want to film it, at least?
No, don't do it. I'm not a videographer. I'm a filmmaker, son.
Yeah, so turn it into a film.
Maybe. But he did do that. No? Didn't he make like a reality show type of thing with his life?
In fact, I actually enjoyed the reality show earlier.
Yeah, I missed it. I missed it because I didn't have television at the time. I was already streaming.
Oh.
It was on Showmax.
Oh, but it was streaming also.
I'm going to get Showmax now.
Speaking of streaming, Queen Sono.
They cancelled it.
I was going to say... It's got great reviews. We're all happy to see it.
We're all
happy to see the quality.
Yeah, it's nice quality, yeah.
When you're told we're cancelling a show...
I've got bad news and good news. I've got... That was the call.
So do they call you or do they call you in?
No, they call. I agree it was COVID, so just call. And there are also people all over the world.
Oh, so they were hiding behind COVID.
So it was like, I've got good news, I've got bad news. But it was also that. There was like the COVIDness of it all. I mean, also that sounded like a thick NDA, and I got paid enough to be like, okay, fine, keep your show.
Yeah.
And it was, look, Queen Sono was a... It's a pity, man, because it was a nice show and it had was getting more cool momentum, especially international.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I think locally there was, I think there was also a lot locally, but there's also like Pearl as the lead of it. She's very divisive. I mean, she's one of my favorite people in the world. Mm. But people, you know, there are people that are super, super Pearl fans and they're super, super like hater for whatever reason.
For whatever
so,
reason.
Yeah, so when the show was canceled, it was hectic, the hate that she got, you know? And I'm like, she did such a great job.
It became personal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then people were going like, oh, she can't act. And I'm like, she's really a great actor. She's like, the work, like, have you ever seen a South African actor do that level of stunt, like, work and perform? Like, she's, I think because they see her as this influencer, Pearl, pretty face.
Oh, she's our Pearl, we know her.
Those vibes, they don't respect that she went to drama school. They don't respect that she like works at her craft, you know. So that was like a shame, that whole thing.
It's almost like we refuse to understand that the kid who was your neighbor
is now that
global star.
That's
like, ha, pele unale mamina nyana kusgeta.
Yeah, well, you know that. Oh, twekango. Oh, twekango.
And it's sad that we don't shake that shit off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or because you've become successful at what you do, but we know you as that Bari from class.
That we're gonna die.
That we.
Ramamin. I used to be called Ramamin at school, you know.
Ah, but more grade 1 on Uika kids.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And now the fact that you pooed on yourself in grade 1. Must follow you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, like, you can't have achieved anything.
Yeah.
We can get in grade 1 in most.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that's, like, I mean, I feel like Pearl, well, she's good. She's got good, like, a thick skin, I think. Because of, I mean, she can't have the thickest skin because she's also human.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, I commend her, you know. She goes, but she also causes a lot of cack as a person. She also goes, she courts the cack.
Yeah,
You know what? Power to her. She's like the Julius of the, yeah, she's Julius
of the scene.
Of that, yeah. She's up there with
But at a personal level, though, when a show is cancelled, it doesn't feel nice.
So it's hectic because you constantly going, yo, but we were, because that show was cancelled, also we were working at it, you know. We were in the, remember, because season 2 was approved, it was a thing, we were in the mix, you know. And then it was also to leadership changes, this, that, corporate things that you don't necessarily kind of will know the depths of as well. But then at the, and then there was like a payday. It was like, cool, we're gonna not do right by this, but we understand that you put effort and all of that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So as a, so the silver lining was that then that period where everybody was stuck in COVID and all of that type of stuff.
You compensated.
We were able to now think of the new things.
Oh,
we were able to develop new projects. So, you know, as David Kibuga always says, everything is helping you all the time.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure somebody else said that before him, but he says that to me all the time.
Sure.
And that was like the thing that we always thought, well, how is this helping us?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, it must be helping us. And it did, you know, like now we're coming up. There's a show that we just finished now, which is much bigger than Queen Sono, like the biggest thing that we've ever done. It's international. We own a piece of it. You know, the lesson of that was that don't also just have things that are owned by corporate America.
Sure.
You know, so it was very, yeah, it was cool. It was sad though. Like we were kicking like walls for like 3 months. Man, I'm not step out. Like, who do you think? But yeah, you know, but yeah.
It's like, here's a check for your trouble.
Yeah. So it was a growing moment.
So you're working on something right now.
Yeah, I'm like just finished post-production.
When are we seeing it?
I think end of the year, beginning of next year. It's like a big co-production American thing with American steering.
What genre?
It's like young adult thriller.
Yeah.
I mean, because of us, there's also a lot of comedy in it, I think. But it's like imagine Matwetwe, but if it had like, if it was set in like a sort of a privileged world with like international kids
and a budget
that's probably like 100, 200 times more and all of that.
Wow.
So I always say after Matuetwe, which was very special and also tragic at the same time, I always say I like the spirit of that thing. You know, like I always, everything that we do, I'm always like, if we can get that magic, that Matwetwe thing in it.
Matwetwe was special.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always like, you know, like people always go, yeah, Matwetwe. It was a lot of, even in these like Netflix talks and whatever, because now they're telling everybody, make a Matwetwe type of thing. We need more hyperlocal.
No,
and it mustn't be these art house festival things. And
You think that's how Mandoza felt every time they told him, make another Angara Gata?
Probably. You could have cut it. Really, like, yeah, that is that kind of. I mean, Nankala, if you like,
Matwetwe is like young Kalagat.
Malagat.
Yeah.
And like, it's what's crazy is Matwetwe, the first time I saw Matwetwe with the audience.
Yes.
Was in Texas, right? At a film festival. Mm. That's where, and then I was like, whoa, they're laughing at the right. You know, the nerves of you. I made a thing. I don't know if it's going to work. And then, see, then the next time I saw it was in like Rotterdam with like a bunch of Dutch festival goers. And then the third time I saw it was with the public was at in South Korea. Right? With like a bunch of South Korean, it worked the same.
Still translated.
And then the fourth time I saw it was at Black Coffee's house with you at like South African like heavy hitters. Yes. And about, for me, that was, I was like, wow, the journey of this thing. And it was, it's probably to date the cheapest thing we've ever made. It's like still less than $2 million that it cost.
And you made it work.
I mean, yeah. Dude,
with virtually unknown kids.
Ah, like unbelievable. Like, I mean, for me, and like the way I learned. The one thing I saw there was the theater guys.
Oh, yes.
Like, we have this new movie now, Big Nunu's Little Heist, that Admiral directed.
Yes.
You have to watch that thing. Yeah. Admiral, you know, Admiral has always been a movie guy.
Yeah.
He finally made his movie, and it's brilliant. And it's also theater guys. Like, the two leads are theater guys. And, you, man, they bring that other thing. They bring the...
But they also bring in... Don't they bring a nice discipline? Also?
That's the thing. Because they work...
They bring a different discipline.
Yeah, they work on it... outside of the, because they're used to the discipline of theater. Is not, it's, they have to rehearse the thing, they have to work it every day until it's great, you know. And it's never
not, it's not
great.
Just learn your lines into your character,
because most of us, we are like on the way to the set, can I get more, you know, can I get, and then by through sheer luck you got the thing. And it's so it's fascinating, it's spectacular.
So are you allowed to give us anything about this new production?
I mean, it's been announced. Yeah. It's a show called Classified, and it's a sort of this American kid who causes skak in Oakland, California, during those riots. You know, America's always in like flux. And then she burns, she's 15, and she burns a cop car, like in the riot. She
picks
up Molotov there in the chaos. And then she's facing like serious repercussions.
Oh,
you know, America's a black kid. And, but then luckily, her father lives in South Africa with his new wife, who works for like, you know, diplomat. Her father is like a writer. So they send her to South Africa, telling her that you'll be back after the summer when all this shit dies down.
Yeah.
She gets here, she finds out that no, there's no dying down. She's actually supposed to finish high school here because her mom has also mental health issues and what. So she tries to escape. Boom, boom, boom. She's like, you know, she's a pace, as they say, resourceful.
Slim.
And then she ends up in the plane. Like, by the end of it, she's in the aeroplane, like, okay, I'm done, I'm out. And then guys in black suits come, they take her out. You know, she's been to this fancy school, she's met, it's been a day of South Africa, or 2 days, whatever. And then she gets into this black plane.
Giving away, like...
And they'll forget, by the time we... This is the premise, This all happens in the first episode. Then she gets told that her mother, she discovers that her stepmother is actually the CIA station chief in South Africa. And this show came actually from the CIA. Like, it's a company called Skybound, who they do that show, The Walking Dead.
Yes.
And so it's a co-production between us and them. And another, these two timers who were in their 70s who worked for most of their lives as CIA station chiefs in different parts of the world. And they took their kids with.
Yes.
And then because they, like they said, you know, to infiltrate the Kremlin is very hard to do in Moscow.
Sure.
But if you are in Australia or in Jakarta and your kids go to the same school, then, you know, that the Freshovovich comes to your house. You brise, you get him drunk. After 3-4 years, now you've got things on him. Mm. So when he goes back home, you've got an asset, you know? So I was like, okay. They're like, do you think there's a show here? We're like, okay, let's go. At the time, we were also still like hurt. We don't have, they canceled that show. You know, we got into it. And then we got into love. You know, it's a great show.
That's amazing, man.
It's a dope show. It's like really, like it's one of those. You know, because Queen Sona was a level.
Yes.
This thing is like, you know, it's got those sounds. Absolutely. Are we almost done? Are you telling us, Ravayeno?
Apparently, we have gone 20 minutes over already.
Man, it's always nice to catch up with you.
But they can wait.
Yeah, okay, great. I mean, that's what I like to hear.
I always talk about mental health because I feel it's understated and underspoken about.
Mm-hmm.
How do you protect your mental health within the industry and outside of the industry?
I mean, I think that we all have levels of, you know, for me, like anxiety, these types of things.
Yeah.
You know, we have those things, especially for me with work and aging, you know, being, because I'm 45 now.
Yeah.
You know, when your people are a grot man, and we're the same generation, even though you're a older grot man than I am.
You know what the weirdest thing is? Because at heart, I feel like I'm still 25.
But you are.
At heart.
Yeah, you are.
And it's weird how when I meet women that I was in school with.
Come on, give them.
I treat them like the older than me. I treat them like Mama Grisa.
Yeah, that's me.
The Borakhaji.
That's me, man.
You know, and but also because they carry themselves like that.
Yeah.
It's difficult not to.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know if it's a cultural, I don't know, man. Because I think you've got like a lot of, like the ladies our age who are in entertainment that are like fresh. They still feel like they're the same people. They're hot, they're everything.
Yeah.
And then there are ones like, for me, people that I went to school with, that, like what you say. And then, you know, when you are Coco Beta, hey, man, and then the person like, Kahiso, why don't you come, man? Onika. You know, it's always like, yo, you know, I used to have a crush on you, yo. You know, it's like that. Yeah, that's, I don't know what, I feel like, I don't know if they also see me like that, because I always, it's nice to hear that compliment. Hey, you're looking good, you know. It's all because I guess it's that age. When you're 32, nobody cares that they're looking. They're like, yeah, of course, I'm 32.
You better look 32.
Whereas now, it's like, I hope I'm, because I like being 45.
Yeah.
But I also, there's the idea of, yeah, but your time has passed.
21 forever.
You know what I mean? But I think that we always, maybe because we're in entertainment.
Yes.
And I think we're in that, there's a groove. Because you, like somebody, I was telling our kid this, because his father passed away recently. And I was reading a thing. There's a guy who...
Okay, I'm confused. Whose father passed away?
Akin.
Oh, I thought you said our kid.
No, Akin.
Akin.
No, our kid's father, hopefully, let's touch wood, he's going to still be around. Akin Omotosho. There's a thing that I was reading about, there's a guy who helps people face their death. I guess people who are chronically ill or people who are old and whatever. And he's like, it's a thing that I read long before like COVID, you know? And then he said that most people, nobody wants to die. Nobody's ready to die, regardless, 85, 86, whatever.
Or how sick you are.
Yeah, you don't want to die. But the people that are most ready are the ones that did the things that they wanted to do. Like the things that, the ones that don't have regrets. The ones that were like, I did it. I was DJ Fresh. Everybody, I did my things, you know? So like that was an interesting thing that like the 18 till you died. Like Brahew, he was like when I was friends with you, he was in his 70s, I was in the late 30s, whatever. Yeah. And but I was always like, this dude is like my age. He's like this type of guy, you know? He was nuts, but he had lived this life. But his essence was like my age. He was like, if he was here, he'd be the most raucous, the most raw, like whatever. Yeah. And I always went, but he's old. Like he's not going to be here. Like when I'm 50, there's a likelihood that he's not going
to be together,
speak, whatever, you know? Yeah. So it was always like a mindfuck that, you know? But it's that thing though, but the spirit of him, he was never, like I think rappers Khosizile wrote that poem, Man Boy of the Ages, and it was about you, and it was that, you know? Like he was exactly that, like forever and ever, like that 25-year-old, which is unbelievable, which is probably how you're going to be, you know,
fascinating.
Yeah, it's like that. Like all your people of this age are going to be this kind of, until we die. Hopefully we keep it. Touch wood.
In fact, I was telling my kids that, you know, by the time you guys are done partying, chances are I'll still be at it.
Yeah. I mean, you are the guy at the party.
I'll still be rocking parties.
There we go. I mean, but you also have the lack of your work is the party.
Well, there's also that.
You know what I mean? That it's like a luck. It's because it's like you chose. Imagine you didn't choose that when you were in your 20s or teens. Imagine you had worked at Liberty Life and then you discovered this thing now. Sorry, a good friend of mine works at Liberty Life and he loves, not you, Mping, not you.
Yeah.
I use Liberty Life because my dad was also an insurance worker.
Sure.
And that was in my head. I was always like, being a loser, would be working at an insurance company. But then I succeeded in creative world, being a loser for me, and no offense to anybody, but would be working in advertising. If I worked in advertising, that would, for me would be the creative equivalent of being an insurance guy, you know, because I'd be selling like Colgate now. I'd be that guy, you know. So I hope, and no offense, I mean, I enjoy those Colgate.
Offense taken, but already, carry
but,
on.
But yeah, you know, so, but this. Let's, you know, keep doing what we do, and all of the people follow your dream. It's not nothing that follow your dream shit.
Absolutely. Brother man, we're going to have to let you go.
Let me go, baby. Let me go. We've
gone over for by 20 minutes, or 13 now. So 30 minutes. We're in trouble. Where do we find your social media?
I don't participate unless I have things to sell, which is terrible. I'll try to participate more regularly.
Okay.
But, you know these movies that we've got on Netflix now?
Mm-hmm.
They're like independent.
So what do you have on Netflix?
I've got a thing called Rosa, The Republic of South. Ah, shit.
Yes.
It's like Pure Nat. People are loving it.
Yeah.
It's like a Pure Nat, the reunion type of thing with them.
And there's great reviews for it.
Yeah, it's great. I'm like so happy because it's working. And then also Big Nunu's Little Heist, which is Andy's film, which is like Matuidro with a budget. It's really stylish. It's so cool.
Yeah.
But we also own these things, you know? Sure. So like they're not necessarily like Netflix in the way that they're going to sell them with crazy billboards. So any support, if you see a trailer, retweet, do those stuff, tell the people just that they're, because I know their heart. When people get to them, they're like, oh my God, how come I didn't know? But they need to know about them.
Sure.
So that'll be dope. Thank you so much. And thank you for the time, you know?
Great stuff.
And it's always great. And you've always supported our shit since the beginning.
My man, I've been supporting your shit for about 25 years.
Dude, like every time we put something out, regardless of how shit or good, you always give us like, hey.
And there's been a couple of shit ones, but it's fine.
Yeah. That's how we get to the good ones. You gotta get to the races to come to here, you know?
Absolutely. Like, how do you get to a time when do that go through the cold?
You know what I mean? There, you gotta go through the cold. So thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's a funny man. He's a storyteller. He makes movies. He tells stories for a living. And he's still very funny. He makes some noise for Kagiso Letiha.
This is...
Wow!
What a week. What a week. This kid...
Yeah!
Really kicks.
Welcome to Wow What a Week. This kid really kicks ass. When she moves a crowd, she can channel the energy of a lioness. Girl. But when she needs to stay centered, she can align with the calm of a cow, even. Here to share her journey so far, and maybe lessons of how to relax and to rock out. Please give a wow welcome to Palisa Zoe Nontandazo.
You started with the Palisa. Just like, let's ID name this thing.
No, Bella, your engine number is very important. We must respect the engine number.
Yeah.
How did you end up a Palisa, a Mudiha, but... Me, when I spoke to you, Setswana, they were taking along.
And I do take. I'm working on it, guys. I have a Mudiha side of the family, which is my maternal family.
Oh, yes.
And there's some jokes where we, you know, they share when we meet up that just fly over my head. And I'm like, yeah, it's funny, guys.
Sure, Kazi.
Hey, sure. But my mom gave me Upalisa.
No.
And my maternal side of the family is Tswana. My paternal side of the family is Zulu.
Yes.
Nomthandazo was given to me by my grandfather. Mm. His Tandwana Sakhe is called Nomthandazo.
No.
I never got to meet my grandmom, but, you know, that was her name. And Upumelele, actually, I think Upumelele is my dad.
Yeah.
So I guess he had high hopes for me, you know. So I'm grateful for those names. Those are
so
nice names.
So how do you think his hopes are looking so far?
I think it's looking good.
Yeah.
I think it's looking good. I like to think I define success as I go along, you know, to kind of set new goals and have a different idea of what that is.
Sure.
And I do think I live a successful life. So, yeah.
Can we talk about, there's something about you. Like, there's something about your aura. There's even just your fashion sense. There's something about you that makes you stand out. Do you believe you've always stood out? And do you know what I'm talking about when I say there's something about you?
Well, I mean, if I were to kind of think of it in the sense of the fact that everyone has that something about them.
No, not everyone.
You think not everyone has it?
10 people could walk into the same room, but one person will move the room without even people realizing that we're moved.
Well, I know that I do have the ability to do that, but I also know I have the ability to disappear in a room as well.
Mm.
I have both those things, whatever we call those things.
True.
You know, I guess it helps me in my work and in spaces where we're having conversations, performance spaces, media spaces, you know, even amongst people I love. But I like both. I like to stand out and I like to be invisible too.
Is it invisible on your terms or invisible where you feel unseen and you feel possibly borderline like an imposter?
Ooh, that's very interesting. I would say my invisibility would be more blending in. So I like to blend in, for example, when I'm with family, I like to blend in when I'm with amongst my friends. I love to blend in when I'm in, you know, the community that I come from. Those are spaces I don't like to stick out. But on stage, I have to stick out. I have to, because I mean, I studied like superstars, so I must be in glitter and gold, and I must command a space, you know. So yeah, but I think in any of those situations, I would want to be seen.
True.
And I like to make people feel seen as well.
True.
I like that. I tend to not enjoy spaces where people don't feel like that, and I don't like to feel like that.
Often, people that love blending in. And I'd like to count myself in as people who like to blend in,
mm-hmm.
is often I don't want the attention.
Sure.
Is the reason I want to blend in.
Mm-hmm.
Often I'd rather it's about other people than about myself is why I want to blend in.
Sure.
Often it's because I possibly love what I do, but I don't love the attention that it creates that sure. I want to blend in.
Sure.
Is that you?
I like attention in the context. It depends on context.
Okay.
So for me, on
stage... So the lights are off. You're off stage.
If we're off stage, I think I don't necessarily want that attention on me because I don't think it's in context. I have nothing really to share.
Sure.
Unless it's like a conversation. And even then, I don't necessarily enjoy feeling like I'm placed on a pedestal out of context. You know, I understand that my gifting is God gift. And anyone, I think everyone has a gift. And if you're lucky enough to find it and work on it over a period of time, you realize the attention that comes with gifting and you realize that there's a pedestal that comes with that. But I think for me, out of context, it doesn't make sense. And I like to blend in because I like to experience things as they are sometimes.
Sure.
You know, and that does not look like being put on a pedestal. That looks like what I used to do when I used to go to Eskolo eDorobheni in Pietermaritzburg, and I went to a private school, but when I'd come home, I'd definitely change what I was wearing and maybe wear like a shirt that I could play with because I wanted to blend in, because to me it didn't matter that I was
context.
In another space.
It's a different context.
Yeah. I don't want to feel...
So I'm sure you even code switched.
Definitely.
You went from your twang...
Definitely.
To strictly isiZulu.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you spoke English, you'd even dilute it.
Yes.
Because you don't want it to...
Sengikhuluma kanjena ukuthi, hey, guys, you know, I'm not going to speak like this, you know, but I recognize when I'm at school that, like, this is perceived intelligence. It's currency. Yes. It's being understood and being seen. Kodwa mangisekhaya. So khuluma kanjena, you know.
So I am you and you are me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it?
So we often play a game with our singing guests called... no, don't show off yet. we call it the musical.
Sure.
So Zoe Mudiha, the musical. And we'll give you a scenario and we pray you share with us the song that reminds you of that moment in your life. So we're going to start with Zoe Mudiha, the... musical, childhood. What's that song that either played a lot in the house or that was sung a lot in the house?
Oof. So the first song I think of is from a literal musical called Iphindombi.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first play that I saw. I wasn't older than 4 years old. And we were watching that play with my mom and my sister at the Alexandra Theatre. And the song goes, Aya! Aya! And apparently I sang that song probably for the rest of that year, you know, just from the amazement of that. But I would say my soundtracks would also be like Abo Mamletambulu, Abo Babkefa Semenya, Soul Brothers, my dad. I have my dad to thank for that.
Sure.
Oh my goodness.
Which Mamleta song reminds you of your childhood?
There's music in the air. It makes the sorrow go. Oh, that song. And then there's a fade out that happens towards the end of the song. And then it fades back in. Ah, that's my childhood.
Like I said, I feel like we grew up together.
Who would have thunk it?
Zoe Mudija, the musical, your first crush.
Oh.
Is there a song there?
I just think it.
Love, so many things I've got to tell you, but I'm afraid I don't know how.
Music Soul Child, Love. I just think Love.
How old were you when you had your first crush?
I literally have the image in my head. I think I had crushes earlier, but a significant crush was in my high school years.
Oh, yes.
He was tall, dark, handsome, beautiful smile.
Do you remember his name?
I do.
Are you going to share with us?
I won't. There's a high school group that we're a part of on WhatsApp. No, he's not in the group.
Oh, okay.
So I don't want to deal with it after the fact, you know. But yeah.
If you'd see him walking past here right now.
Oh, man. I'd probably get weak at the knees.
All right.
Yeah.
Zoe Mudija, the musical, My First Love.
Oof, that's a good one. My First Love.
Mm-hmm. What was the song? Because like you thought this is the man I'm going to marry, spend the rest of my life with. Mm. Or the woman.
It's actually like a Zim Ngawana song.
Okay.
And it's like a very... I can't remember how the song goes, but it's a Zim Ngawana song. And I remember having a moment with this particular person with that song.
Moment how? What happened?
It was just us listening to it.
Yeah.
And we would play it on repeat and play it on repeat and play it on repeat. So, yeah.
What went wrong?
I think distance.
Yeah.
Distance. Mm. And... Yeah, it probably just wasn't meant to be. I mean, at the time, it felt like my world was crashing. But it sure. makes sense now.
Yeah.
And we bumped into each other a few times. It's quite cordial. He's a beautiful person. So, yeah. You know. Yeah.
Zoe Mudija, the musical, My First Heartbreak.
Oh, Kosiami.
What's the song that got you through that period?
Awema. Do you know, it's actually not a song. It's a movie.
Okay.
And it was this particular person after... I'd broken up with them. The song is called the movie is The Great Gatsby.
Okay.
The one with Leonardo DiCaprio. Yes, 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 yes. And I literally watched that thing over and over again. So I felt like I was the Gatsby.
What was it about that movie that got you through this period?
I feel like The Great Gatsby as a character had this kind of vision of the way his life was supposed to go.
Mm.
And a vision of Daisy, the character that he built this entire life for,
yeah.
You know, and he had this unending just vision of what love is supposed to be, almost idealistic,
yes,
a very
yes.
unrealistic vision of what mm-hmm. love is supposed to be. And I guess I related to that in the context of that relationship. I was like, love is yes. idealistic and sure. perfect and beautiful.
Did you go through a never ever gonna love again period? Or
no.
You're not one of those girls.
No. I don't think love has battered me. Anjalo, you know.
Okay, so you haven't been through...
No.
Unjolo will nyesa you yet.
No, I mean, the nyesings happen, right? And have happened, but I don't think it's made me feel like love doesn't want me and love won't find me and, you know, it sure. doesn't relate to me, no.
Yeah.
No.
Zoe Mudija, the musical, I'm overseas on a SAMRO scholarship and I miss home. What was that song? So it was what, 2015?
2015.
Yeah.
There's actually a song that I performed there called Four Women by Nina Simone, another beautiful, iconic woman. And that is a song that reminds me of that time.
Let's hear it.
My skin is black. My arms are long. My hair is woolly. My back is strong. Strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again and again. What do they call me? My name is Ansara.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that song.
Yeah.
Speaks about four women of color.
Yes.
And their different experiences. It's a very powerful song.
You're very... chocolatey.
Mm.
What's your relationship with your skin tone? Because especially for black girls,
sure,
it's almost like your skin tone can work for you or against you more than for black men. It's almost like you guys are held to a different standard when it comes to your skin tones. What's your relationship with your skin tone? And has it evolved at all over the years?
Absolutely. It's definitely evolved over the years. I think when I was younger, there was always a thing about being Indonyaman, about being a darker-skinned young lady. We weren't really the standard of beauty at the time. And so I've always had to rely on other things besides perceived beauty. I've had to rely on building character. I've had to rely on just hopefully having great conversation, other things, because that was never a thing. Being beautiful and looking like that was never a thing, And then there was a time down the line where it became a trend, Everyone is bald, everyone is sporting their natural hair, and the conversation is changing, and thankfully for that, I remember growing up and people like Lyra were coming into, the space, and I loved, like, she was such a Barbie doll to me, so it's ironic that she has a Barbie doll. But she was such a Barbie doll to me because she was one of the first people.
You called it.
She was one of the first people that really represented beauty being seen as a dark-skinned woman. And now I feel incredibly gorgeous. I feel drop-dead.
You don't feel
it. Amazing. I don't feel it. I feel beautiful, And but, I'm grateful for women that have held that space.
No, but your skin tone is incredibly, like, it stands out. I don't understand why anyone would think it's something to hold against you.
Sure.
When did you start seeing it? That actually, no, man, screw that. I'm beautiful.
Oh, man. I think my mom was probably the very first example of that because I look like both my parents equally, which is probably sounds strange, but my parents looked very much alike. So if you saw my dad, you'd be like, hey, you look like a dad. If you saw my mom, you'd be like, hey, you look like your mom. And my dad always had the swagger about him. He smelled good. He wore, those gold chains.
Oh, wow.
He was like, he carried himself a certain kind of way. He was a people's person. And my mom also has always had this confidence about her. She's always worn her hair in a natural kind of way. She's always exuded this life in her. And I guess they were the first examples for me of like, actually, I come from them, right?
Yeah.
So, and I guess down the line, it's been different people. Olira, Ozozibini,
Zoe Modiga, the musical, the lowest point in your life. What song carried you there?
I think quite a few songs have carried me in low spaces. And I have to admit that I visit those spaces more than I would like. But I guess they teach lessons.
Do you visit them or do they drag you towards them? Because there's a difference.
I think
because sometimes we wanna be in a low so that we can experience the high and enjoy the high.
Sure.
But sometimes it's just that's where life has taken you.
Sure. I would probably say it's a visitation, because maybe there's something I'm supposed to get out of that particular moment. I mean, I literally just come out of one this year.
Are you able to share it?
Well, it was more of an existential thing, It was a space where I was wondering if anything pertaining to my work and my gifting, if it all makes sense, are the hours that I've spent, are they worth the time that was spent, Are people really seeing what I'm about and what I'm doing and what I'm sharing,
Am I wasting my time?
Am I wasting my time, So there was a lot of that.
Am I wasting their time?
Am I wasting? Hey, am I wasting your time, guys? Am I wasting my time? But am I wasting your time? I'm in my like late 20s now, so the trajectory of life is kind of shifting into uncomfortable spaces of making sense of that. What does that mean? What does accomplishment mean? What does success mean? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? But one of the songs that have pulled me through would be Sibusile Xaba's discography first and foremost, but also a song by Mambusi Mhlongo called Amagugu.
Mm-hmm.
Amakuka.
Oh, that song.
Yeah.
Such a special song. I love that song.
Yeah.
Samakuku alelizo amaphupha afezekile, you know. Yeah.
You have a special voice, by the way.
Thank you.
So I'm sitting here quietly.
Thank you. Means I get to keep my purpose, so that feels good.
Yeah, since you had that existential
Taking
along.
Yeah.
And hopefully that helps you.
Yeah.
You're not wasting our time.
Oh, goodness. Because can you imagine? I'm just here, like, and people are like, okay, girl.
Sure. We have two more songs.
Sure.
Zoe Mudiha, the musical, I have found love and I'm in a happy space.
Oh. Ooh, I wonder why this is such a hearty laugh.
Tell us more.
I'm definitely telling less.
This moment brought to you by Kellogg's. Who got it all this morning?
I see what you did there. Well, then. Oh, man. A song. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Also, I find that I get love from so many different places. You know, I really do. I'm not just shy away. I'm not. I swear. I'm not trying to shy away. I'm not trying to dilute. But I just find that there's so much love in so many different aspects of my life.
Sure.
But if I were to, like, single out one song. I can't think of the song. maybe the song is a love.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the song is a love. Because I find that I feel a lot of love.
Sure.
Where there is laughter, where there is joy, where you are just laughing.
Sure.
About one thing or another. So let's make that the song.
Finally, Zoe Mudiha, the musical. It's like the end of the musical, and you are the victor. You've won this thing called life. What is your victory song?
Ngicela ningizwe kahle ngifuna ukushintsha umhlaba ngine ncaba mina ncaba mina ngine ncaba mina ncaba mina le
And that's when I know that everything is in my DNA. I'm doing this, I've done this life thing.
Yep.
The curtain is closing. The audience is having a standing ovation.
I mean, the audience
my
crying.
Life.
Oh. And it's not just a small cry. You know, a guy cries, but there's a bubble of snot there that cry.
I love those.
I'm being told that we are running out of time. I hate doing these. No, we'll do a part two and a part three and a part
okay,
four.
Okay, sure.
So don't stress. You do a million interviews.
Yeah.
The one question you've never been asked that you always say, please ask me this, and nobody ever asks you this question.
Oh, man. It's true. There's a lot of the same questions that get to be asked.
Sure.
And it's not fun to answer it because usually the answer requires you to have like this earnest answer, like yes. you're saying this for the first time, even though it's the 100th time.
And you must believe it also that you're saying it for the first
yes. time. Yes. Yeah. Because also people will tell, hey, lo poregile.
Exactly. You know? This is a script now.
For me, I think it would be random questions that have nothing to do with the music. Like just random questions, you know. And I don't mind. I would love the idea of not having a prepared answer because that's what being asked the same question kind of evokes. You have that answer at the back of your mind, but I would like something that's like, whoa.
Far left, far right.
Yeah, like a love song about my first love. Like, no one's asked me that. Mm. I've never had to think about that. So there's no answer waiting at the back of my mind. So the more random, the better.
Is that why you laughed for so long when you asked you about the song?
Exactly. And this is my ugly laugh now.
So, yeah, so you must know that if she gives a Shebeen laugh, she doesn't have an answer. When she comes home, it's like, baby, did you spend our money on shoes again?
Quack, quack, quack.
You know she spent everything on the shoes.
Askisi, baby. Askisi.
You've got a show coming up. Where can we catch you on stage?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. There's a tour called Tostos Tour.
Yes.
And it's a tour of Thanksgiving. We started in East London. And we're really just saying thank you to the music lovers for coming in on this journey, especially with my second album, Inganekwane.
Sure.
But also, we will be Emaswatini.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited this Friday. And we will be at the Luju Festival. There's so many other incredible acts that will be there, mm-hmm. but we will be having fun. We've been counting down. I've been waiting for this week. So it's finally here and we're excited. I have a little surprise for my sweaty peeps.
So at the Luju Festival.
At the Luju Festival. This Friday.
But you're on Friday, though.
I'm on Friday.
Basically later today.
Yes, basically. See you later today.
Zoe, we love you. We respect you. I repeat, you're not wasting your time.
Thank you.
You're not wasting our time. For a lot of people, you might even be the difference between feeling like it's not worth carrying on with life anymore.
Oh, man.
And I hope you guys understand that gift that you guys have with your talents. Because I've been arguing for the last 20 years now. Your average person is one song away from deciding not to end it all.
Wow.
So I'm hoping that you guys fully appreciate your own gifts the way we do.
Thank you. And I think it's a gift to be able to awaken in someone the idea of them seeing themselves. So I appreciate that gift from you. And I think you've been able to show that across the decades that you've been here doing what you do. So I'm grateful that this is
she
coming from
She says
I'm
you. Old, basically, across the decades.
It's only
3 decades. It's just 30 years.
Ubaba fresh. Umalumu fresh. Ikhehlaletsu elihu fresh.
And in fact, when I'm done eating my chicken, I'll be wiping my hands on your head.
I don't mind. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you.
The inimitable, the effervescent, yay, the incredibly beautiful Zoe Modiha. And in closing, we want to send another big shout out to our netball ladies for that big match against Uganda. More good vibes to our other lady rock stars, our ball stars, if you will, Banyana Banyana. If you're not watching either team and you're feeling bored and want to do something doff, maybe you can dress in khaki and camo outfits and go look for a fight at some political party's office. To the rest of you with above average IQs, have a wow week ahead. Shout out to AMP Studios for hosting us, Africa Podcast Network. We love you guys. Pezulu Works for the cinematography, Otis the Flo Fraser for all of our audio imaging, our guests Kagiso Lediha and Zoe Modiha, and our creative director, Kuvesh Mohan, and show producer, Kedeso Mudisakeng. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. This coming Monday at midday, we have Mac G.